This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. One of the biggest stories in Texas today, we were talking about it at the top of the big broadcast, Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, highest criminal court in the state, dismissing the second and final felony charge against former Governor Rick Perry. Abuse of power was that remaining charge. Joining us now is Craig McDonald. If that name sounds familiar, well, perhaps you remember he's the director of Texans for Public Justice. The TPJ is that group that originally filed the complaint back in June of 2014 against Governor Perry, which led to his felony indictment. Mr. McDonald, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
So were you surprised by the news this morning from Texas's highest criminal court?
We were not surprised at all. I think disappointed would be the word, but I think if anyone who sat through the oral arguments in this case and who had read what we thought was a very partisan ruling from the Third Court of Appeals before it got to the highest court, I don't think anyone would be surprised of today's outcome.
Well, you know,
there were two dissenting votes out of the eight, so we're happy with that. But it looks like this case is going away.
Everyone is focusing on the political impact here. Is that the real story as you see it?
Well, I'm afraid the real story is that maybe going forward, the impact on governors who believe they can abuse their power. We have to keep in mind that this was about a veto. It was about the threat of a veto, particularly. And Perry vetoed that legislation to wipe out the Public Integrity Unit, a good government watchdog, the only watchdog the state has. And we believe the evidence pointed to the fact that the governor tried to wipe out the Public Integrity Unit because at the time it was investigating contracting scandals within his administration. So there's a broader context here, I think, than rather just the immediate political implications of what this did or would do to Governor Perry.
You know, we're speaking to folks across the state, folks who may not, you know, have their heads in the, you know, the sort of the political stuff that a lot of people in the Texas capital city do. And it's not always been clear to some people that I've spoken with about why there has been this historic tension between the Public Integrity Unit in Travis County, Texas, and mostly Republican officials in Texas state government. We probably should roll back the clock on that just a bit, don't you think? I mean, where does that tension come from?
Yeah, well, I think that tension is unfounded. Certainly, I think it sprung up again out of the Tom DeLay case. But if you look at the history of the Public Integrity Unit, which is the only unit in state government which is supposed to investigate and prosecute political crimes, most of its work has been prosecuting Democrats over the years. And I think it's only recently that the Republicans in power have politicized it. Again, I think it stemmed in part from the Tom DeLay indictments, and of course that was amplified again when Rick Perry was indicted in 2014.
The idea, just the underlying notion, at least among some Republicans, is that Travis County is that sort of what is it? It's that blue dot in the red state, and so when you're having a unit that is based in Travis County, where there's a lot of, as they say, political liberalism, you're going to end up with more indictments of top officials. And guess who the top officials in the state are? They're Republicans. I mean, at least by appearances, it's hard to take the politics out of it.
Well, by the numbers, you're right. If any statewide official is indicted now, it will be out of necessity a Republican, because that's all there are. But trying to defang and defund this unit is like taking away a hometown district attorney. If crimes take place in Houston, it's the Harris County district attorney's job. If crimes take place in Austin, where these crimes or potential crimes took place, it's the job of the Travis County District Attorney to prosecute them. To change that and to undermine that turns our whole criminal justice system on its head.
I don't know if you've had a chance. Have you had a chance to read the majority opinion here?
Only partially. Again, we're not attorneys, so I can't really I can't speak to the ins and outs of all the legal wrangling.
I understand.
I do know that there has been and is some concern that the court here decided to decide this issue before the facts of the case were brought out at the trial court. So they have done a pretrial resolution of the case, and I know that was one of the contentious parts of the oral argument, whether the court should really make a ruling on this case before the public and or the lower court judges have a chance to look at the facts behind the indictments. And so this court really pushed that aside and buried evidence that the public will never know. be able to see I think, what really happened in the governor's office.
Let me ask you about this, though, and we're out of time, but obviously what happened in those waning hours of the of Governor Perry's term as governor definitely was not what he wanted to see happen, obviously, because he has had the presidential bid in mind, but also it kind of cast a pall over his legacy at large. Tony Busby, who's Perry's lead lawyer, has maintained that this case was foolishness, should have never been brought in the first place. And I'm wondering whether or not, in a sense, this whole affair now is tarred by the idea that it was political, just looking at the outcome.
Well, we're disappointed with the outcome, but this isn't the only instance that kind of put a shroud around Perry's governorship. There were instances of pay-to-play accusations for many years. So this isn't the only, if you will, the only cloud that hangs over Perry's administration.
Craig McDonald, director of Texans for Public Justice. This is the group that originally filed the complaint, which led to the indictments against Governor Rick Perry. Mr. McDonald, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, David.